You're listening to Connect Communities Podcast, recorded live in Stamford, Connecticut. If you'd like to know more about our community, stop by our website at www.connectcommunity.tv. Enjoy the message.
We've been in a series started last week titled Soul Strong. And it's a four-part series, and we're basically diving in to the Lord's Prayer. Some of you know the Lord's Prayer by heart. Some of you learned the Lord's Prayer growing up, and it was something that you recited as a kid in a childlike faith. And then you grew up, and you grew older, and you grew out of it, because it kind of sounded like a poem that you recited, right? And so we've been breaking it down, because there are four areas that Jesus addresses in that prayer. And as we said last week, it's really a prayer that's not only a way to frame how we pray, but Jesus intended for it to frame how we think, how we have our relationship with Him. So last week, we talked about the first thing. And as I said last week, we're going to start each message by praying the Lord's Prayer. And if you've never heard the Lord's Prayer, you can follow it on the screen. It might be a little bit different for those of you who know, because we're reading from the ESV version. You probably learned it from the King James Version, with all the thys and the thine. We're not going to do that. We're going to do modern English. It's still the same prayer. So let's go to Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, and let's all pray together. If you can pray with me, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. You can always tell when somebody's going to the trespasses and the thine. It's okay. You pray like you know it. But we're reading from this version because of how we're breaking down the series. And because, like I said, in this short prayer, Jesus brilliantly addressed four areas of our lives, and we're going to deal with each one of them each week. Last week, we talked about the first thing that Jesus addressed in the Lord's Prayer, which is that treasure. We called it the treasure, which is the kingdom of God. He taught us to call on His kingdom, to call on His will, for His will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. And Jesus likened the kingdom of God in one of the parables that we read to a treasure hidden on the field. And if you're here last week, you remember that we said that we are all searching for that treasure in one way or another. And whether we realize it or not, we're searching for the kingdom of God. People you know are searching for the kingdom of God. People who don't know God, but you know them, and you know that they're searching for something. What they're searching for is the kingdom of God. And some time ago, that was you. You were searching for the kingdom of God. You didn't know it to call it the kingdom of God. But now you're here. And you found it. You found that treasure. And that's what brings you life. So today, we're going to continue. I'm going to talk about the second thing that Jesus asks us to ask God. The second thing He taught us to ask God in Matthew 6. We just read it right there, verse 11, where He says, Give us this day our daily bread. See, this is not just poetic, but it's transforming. It really changes the way we see provision. But I think it's interesting that He places daily bread right there as the second item that we ask God. Now, daily bread. I don't know if we've ever had the privilege, the opportunity, the delight of tasting fresh bread. It's something that, you know, will change your life if you haven't. I'm talking warm, butter-melting bread. Fresh bread just out of the oven. I grew up in a household. My mom, she was old school. She used to make bread from scratch. Anybody had a household like that where your mom used to make bread from scratch? That's right. She used to get the flour, the eggs, the other things. that it takes to make bread. And she would put them together in a bowl, and she would knead it into the dough, right, and roll it and knead it again and throw flour on the table and flip it and pat it and roll it and then let it grow. Let it sit. You got to let it sit. Don't touch it. She would cover it with a towel, and we would all, like, get super excited, try to look and peek when we were little. She's like, don't touch it. If you touch it, it'll flatten, right? It just goes down, and then she would let it sit, and then she would go at it again and roll it again and then divide it into loaves. It was always a batch of four. Four big, overflowing loaves of bread. And when I was in my teenage years, man, that thing was life. I would come from school, home from school, and I could smell it from the driveway. And I would run to the kitchen. I could eat half a loaf in one sitting. I'm talking like four two-slice ham and cheese sandwiches in one sitting, like this much bread. It was the best. I can hear some of you thinking, excuse me, JD, I'm on keto. All right. And this whole bread analogy, it's really not working for me. It's unhealthy. It's not good for you. Fresh bread, man. It's good every time. It's good every single time. Now, the first thing I thought about when I was meditating and thinking about this fresh bread idea, this daily bread idea, is all the experiences I've had in my life that have been just like fresh bread for my soul. You know, I remember the first time I learned to play a song on the piano, a full song on the piano. That, man, that was like fresh bread for my soul. I remember the first time I ever went on a date. The lady was so pretty. She was so nice. And some of you are getting nervous now. Don't worry, she's sitting right there. It's her. My God, he's talking about his first date with his wife right there. It's her. She's the only woman I've ever dated. And some of you don't know this because you know some of our story, but you don't know this. Our very first date was in New Milford, Connecticut at TGIF. We sat over there at TGIF in New Milford. I had a bunch of traveler's checks because I was visiting. She didn't let me pay. I couldn't argue because I didn't know the language. Couldn't tell the waiter, don't let her pay. Couldn't do that. And she paid for the first meal that we had together. It was an investment. She's gotten it back. She's gotten the money back with interest. This was way back in 2000. But guess what? It was fresh bread. It was fresh bread. I have hundreds and hundreds of experiences that I can think about, from little things that happen on a daily basis to big things that have happened in my life that were just like fresh bread for my soul. How about you? Can you think of some experiences in your life that were just like, it was just like fresh bread, man? It was fresh nourishment for your soul. How about your first job? The first time you heard the words, you're hired, we want you on our team. You're like, what? I have something that you want me to do for you, and you're going to pay me money? And then I get to take that money and buy stuff? That's awesome. How about the first time you held your paycheck? Or when you won that game in elementary school? Or when you passed that exam, you saw the result, you passed. Huh? How about when you bought a new car or when you moved to a new place? It was just like fresh bread to your soul. I'm sure you have plenty of experiences that are just like bread for your souls. And some of you, you may not have had a simple carb in weeks. You may not have had bread in months. But you've been searching for that fresh bread. You've been yearning for that fresh bread. You plan for that fresh bread. That's why you go out on trips. That's why you go out on walks. And that's why you like to have fun with your friends and loved ones. And and try to plan new things, new experiences outside of your life because you yearn for fresh bread for your soul. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that, right? It's great to have new experiences. But if you do so because you have to plan it around your life, if you do so because you gotta step outside of your daily life, you have to get away from what you face daily, then it means that fresh bread is somewhere else. Fresh bread is not in your daily life. If you need to disconnect from what you're doing, to disconnect from what you do on a day-to-day basis, to get fresh bread, then we need to pay attention. See, I'm not talking about resting. I'm not talking about keeping the Sabbath or having a day a week where you unplug. We all need that. We all need that for our souls. And we encourage you to have one day a week where you can just unplug. You don't check emails, don't return emails. You mind your family, okay? You do think about them. But you just rest, let your soul rest. It's good for you. I'm not talking about vacations either, when you do want to get away to refresh. I'm talking about the need that you might have to run away and disconnect from the life you have now. If that's you, that means your daily life is more like stale bread, right? That means the life that you have is like, have you ever had 2 days old bread? Like especially a baguette? You can't bite it without losing a tooth. At least one, you'll lose it. And it's just harsh, it's hard, it falls on your stomach like a ton of bricks. And all the keto people go like, that's why I stopped eating bread. That's when I reel you in. You bring you back to my side. The more I think and meditate on this prayer, give us today our daily bread. And what it means, I believe Jesus is trying to guide us to a kind of life where you don't have to step outside of your life to have fresh bread for your souls. You don't have to step outside of your daily activities to have fresh bread in your life, in your heart. He's guiding us to that kind of life. Now, I want to get a little more specific here. Because if you grew up praying this prayer and believing that give us today our daily bread was a prayer of provision, you're right. It is a prayer of provision. It's a prayer of reliance on God. And there's a reason for it. I don't know if you know this, but there's about 500 verses in the Bible that deal with faith. And there are 500 verses in the Bible that deal with prayer. But there are over 2,000 verses in the Bible that deal with money, finances. And I think that that's telling because it's a reflection of what brings us pressure every single day. It's a reflection of what brings us concern every single day. And it makes sense, right? Because how can you enjoy your life? How can you be free to have fresh bread daily if your things are tough financially? If things are difficult financially? How can you have fresh bread daily for your soul if the burden of provision for your life, if the burden of provision for your family, for your employees, for the people that you guide, if your sales quota, if those things are the things that are in your mind and in front of your eyes every single day? I don't think Jesus randomly selected this petition for provision and placed it right there immediately after, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread." He's guiding us to reframe, to rethink how we see provision. He's giving us a word, but not only a word, he's giving us a place where we can stand on, where we can be confident every single day. So today I want to talk about a couple things, and I want to talk to those of you here who might be going through a desert financially. I want to talk to those of you here who might be going through a drought financially. And I also want to talk to those of you who might be going through a season of abundance financially. And now you're thinking, JD, that's everybody. Yeah. I want to talk to every single one of you because I believe this passage speaks to every single one of us. And Jesus has something important to teach us through this passage today. In the book of Exodus, we find a story about how God delivered the people of Israel from Egypt. They were in slavery. They were hurting. They were crying out to God for deliverance. It was an unbearable situation. It was really, really hard. But apparently, as we read through the story, the food was pretty good. The meals were pretty good. The meat pots were really good. And when God used Moses to deliver them, they had to leave Egypt. But the promise was this: if you leave slavery, I have a land for you. A land flowing with what? Milk and honey. Have you ever noticed that that's food too? There's a connection between food and provision in scriptures. They all go hand in hand. Not only because it was an agrarian society and people saw that as a way for provision, but because food does something to our souls, right? We don't have to worry about whether you're going to have something to eat. That's really important. That's survival, right? And God is making them a promise. Listen, there is a land I'm taking you to, and there you will have plenty of milk and plenty of honey. But guess what? Between Egypt and the promised land, there was a desert. There was a desert. And the journey the people of Israel actually went through is a picture of what you and I might go through from time to time. See, maybe you found yourself in a situation where you became a slave of something. You became a slave of what once was a blessing. Remember, when the people of Israel went into Egypt, Egypt was God's provision for them. Egypt was good. Egypt was the place they ran to run from famine. And God had used Joseph to provide for the nations of the world, including his own family. Israel and his 70 family members came to Egypt. But years went by, and what was once a blessing became a curse because Egypt turned on them. And maybe you were in a situation like that. Something started good. Started off as a God provision. Started off as something good for your soul. But then as things begin to progress, as you begin to move on that line, something began to shift. And now you don't have control over that anymore. Now that whole situation is controlling you, whether it's a job, a relationship, a situation, and you feel like you are enslaved to it and you want to get away, right? Maybe you were in that position. All you had to look forward to were the meals. The meals with family, with friends, a date here or there. But it wasn't enough to balance it off. You know, it wasn't enough for you to say, sure, I'll stay in this position. You want it out. And so you prayed and you asked God. And by, well, you know, if you weren't a Christian or, but you just wished and desired, you just said something out there and you felt an inspiration. God gave you an idea. Jesus came into your life to restore you and to take you out of that situation. And he gave you a freedom in your soul. And he said, there is a promised land for you. Here is where I want to take you. But guess what? Between your Egypt and your promised land, there's a desert. And maybe that's where you are right now. You find yourself in the desert. Behind you is what you dreaded. Behind you is what you left. And ahead of you is the promise of a brighter future. And you are in between, walking the desert, trying to figure out, do I go back? Because at least I had nice meals back there. Do I go back? Should I walk back? I might not have enough to go the distance. Maybe you stepped out in faith. Maybe you were changing careers. You were trying out a new job. Maybe you're starting a family. You stepped out in faith, but now you're feeling the harshness of the desert. And the desert can get hard. You can have cold nights and scorching days. I need you to remember this today. Your promise maker is a promise keeper. He will keep his promise. He will not falter. If things are tight, if money is low, if provision is difficult for you right now, and you're thinking of going back because you don't have enough, I need you to remember the bread from heaven. I need you to remember the manna from heaven, because if God did for the people of Israel, he can do it for you as well. Exodus 16:4 says this, "Behold," this is God telling Moses, "behold, I'm about to rain bread from heaven for you. And the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day that I may test them whether they will walk in my law or not." If you're in the desert, you need to know this. The desert has a purpose. You think you're ready for the promised land. You think you're ready for what's going to come with the provision that God has prepared for you. You think you're ready for the critics. You think you're ready for the exposure that you're going to get. But you may not be ready yet. And he is testing you. He is preparing you. In the meantime, don't look around. Don't listen to the negative voices. Don't listen to the accusations of the enemy. Don't look back. Look up. There's bread from heaven for your life. He has bread for you. Maybe you're in a drought. In 1 Kings chapter 17, we find the story of Prophet Elijah prophesying a drought over the land. He drops in the scriptures like he's a ghost. We don't hear anything from him. And he shows up in the pages of history by coming up to the king Ahaz and saying, "There's not going to be a drop of water unless by my word." And he leaves. And God tells him, "Go hide." See, here's the thing. Ahab needed a lesson. King Ahab was guiding the people of Israel away from God and away from the law of Moses. So God was teaching him a lesson. And in the meantime, Elijah had to hide. So he told Elijah to hide by a brook in the wilderness. And the drought got so harsh that the brook dried up. So God appeared to Elijah, or spoke to Elijah, and said, "Arise, go to Zarephath in Sidon, because I have commanded a widow to feed you there." So he gets up and he goes and he walks to Zarephath. When he gets to the city, he sees a woman by the gate of the city gathering sticks. And he goes up to her and asks her, I imagine that he's trying to test her, right? Asks her for water. And she is willing. So she gets up and goes to get him water. And I guess that seeing her willingness, he calls her back and says, no, come back here. Actually, you know what? I need some cake. I'm hungry. Can you go make me a cake and bring it back to me so I can eat it here? Make me some cake. Come on. Gotta have some cake. I'm hungry. And she answers. This is what she says. "As the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. And now I'm gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat and die." How can you sense the hopelessness? Can you sense the hopelessness in this woman's outlook? Here's the thing about this lady. She didn't do anything wrong. Unlike the people in the desert, she didn't step out. She didn't mess up. She didn't do anything different. Nothing really changed in her life that she caused it to change. Her difficulties were not a result of her taking risks. She didn't put her family in jeopardy. She didn't make decisions that were badly financially. She didn't make bad moves. She didn't go finance a car she couldn't pay for. She didn't go charge stuff that she didn't need. There she was, gathering sticks as she regularly did. Only this time, it wasn't enough. And maybe that's you. You've been careful. You've tried to play by the rules. You try to do the right thing. financially, but in your life too. You've tried to do the right thing, to work hard, to face difficult situations with wisdom. You try to deal in the right manner, and when you face difficult situations, you kept going. But now it's not that you changed things. It's not that you stepped out, and you're not in a desert because you didn't have to step out. You didn't have to go. You were content with your life. Things were good. But a drought came. You weren't complaining. A drought came. You weren't unhappy. A drought came. And now what used to make ends meet no longer makes ends meet. The same effort you put out doesn't bring back results. And you're investing the same amount, maybe even more, to try to get some results, try to get something back. And all you can gather is a few sticks to barely make it through the day. The return on your investment has dwindled. You're in a drought. Like the widow, you've been waiting and praying for rain, and rain has not come, and you're in a drought. Maybe you're in debt. You're in a drought. Maybe you're hustling and trying to catch a break. You're in a drought. And all you need is a little precipitation. Just some rain. You're asking God, please, just a few drops. I'll do the work. Just a few drops. I'll work the soil. I'll work the seed. I'll make it happen. Just send me a little bit of rain. I want to tell you something. Rain will come. God will bring rain on the land again. You will see the fruit of your labor again. But in the meantime, you need to know this, that God does not need the rain to make you gain. He does not need the rain to cause your life to be fruitful. He's calling you to rely on Him. He's calling you to trust Him. He's calling you to look up to Him. 1 Kings 7, chapter 17, verses 13 and 14. Elijah said to her, this was his reply to the woman, "Do not fear, and go and do as you have said. But first, make me a little cake, and of it, make me a little cake of it, and bring it to me. And afterward, make something for yourself and your son." See, he's not asking for everything. He's just asking for a little example of her faith. "For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel." Here comes the promise. "The jar of flour shall not be spent, and the jug of oil shall not be empty until the day that the Lord sends rain upon the earth." See, when you're in a drought, but you still serve. When you're in a drought, but you still give. When you're in a drought, but you're still willing to look beyond yourself. You're not consumed by the drought. You're willing to look beyond yourself to help somebody else. God will be your provider. He will be your provider. You might see some setbacks. You might lose some stuff. But let me encourage you. Don't lose yourself in the process. Don't let the drought determine who you are. Don't let the drought determine what kind of person you're going to be. Be a giver. Be a generous person. Within your means, care for others. Within your capacity, look outside yourself and extend a hand when you have the opportunity. Because that's the way that you will trust your Heavenly Father. People ask Jesus, when have we taken care of you, Jesus? He said, "When you have taken care of the least of these, you have done it unto me." When you do that, even though you're in a drought, you will see the hand of God. And the jar will not be spent. The oil will not be spent. And the flour will not be spent. God will make what you've made go further because of your faithfulness. Maybe you're in a season of abundance. You're living in days of good harvest. God has blessed you. You have no financial worry. And I hope you are. That's our prayer for you. Our prayer for every single one of you is that you would have enough for yourself and for others. Our prayer for you is that you may prosper, is that you may see the work of your hands and see the blessing of the Lord in the land of the living. But let me encourage you today. If you are in that season, don't boast in yourself. You know, don't live with an attitude of, look at what I have. Look at how rich I am. Look at how smart I am, how amazing I am. You know, have some humility in your heart and say, you know what? God has been merciful to me. Look at how gracious God has been to me. Remember, you didn't pick your talents. Sure, you worked hard to develop them. Sure, you worked hard to develop your abilities, but you didn't pick your body. You didn't choose your talents. You didn't choose when you were going to be born, how you were going to be, what kind of talents you were going to have. God gave you those things. And God has given you the ability and the grace and the mercy so that you can earn what you have earned. So honor him with it. Because if he has entrusted you with his blessings, if he has entrusted you with wealth, it's because he has a plan for it. It's because he wants to use you to bless others. He is still calling you to rely on him. Luke chapter 12, verses 16 through 21. This is what Jesus says through a parable. And he told them a parable saying, the land of a rich man produced plentifully. And he thought to himself, what shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops. And he said, I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul is required of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Notice how Jesus didn't criticize the fact that the land yielded plenty of fruits. Jesus didn't criticize the fact that the land produced plentifully or that the man was wealthy. That wasn't his criticism. He was asking us to examine our hearts. He was examining the man's heart. This rich person was living his life, certainly toward the end of his life now, and there was always a need for more. What is it that we crave so much that we never have enough? What is this drive that we have on the inside to go get more and get more and get more, and it's never enough? Have you thought about that? Jesus is trying to get our eyes away from ourselves, not only toward others, but toward our Heavenly Father, so that we can be used by him. And the question is, are you rich toward God? Or are you rich toward yourself? Are you hoarding the blessings that God has afforded you to enjoy? Or are you seeking to bless others, relying on God, still seeking the kingdom of God, still investing in what God is doing on earth, still investing in what he is doing through you? See, if God bless you financially, he's calling you to surrender your life to him still. You know? You should ask, God, what should I invest in? How can the wealth you have blessed me with leave a legacy on this earth that goes beyond my barns, that goes beyond my portfolio? We fool ourselves if we think that we own anything, really. Think about it. We will leave this earth the same way we came in. We will not take our houses, our cars, our iPhones. We will not take anything with us. We will only leave things. What will we leave? We will leave a legacy. We will leave blessings. We will leave a legacy of blessing to others. This is what I love about this church. This is what I love about our team, about you, the people of Connect Community. See, we don't have anybody backing us. We are not sponsored by any millionaires or any big person with deep pockets. We are a community of people who are willing to come together and give of what we have. We have people who might be going through a drought, who might be going through a desert, and we have people who God has blessed and are in a season of abundance. And guess what? We all give. We all come together and we give week in and week out. You know why? Because we know that the fresh bread for our souls is not in our bank account. The fresh bread for our souls is not in earthly possessions. It's not in our paychecks. Jesus is our portion. He is the bread from heaven. He is the manna from heaven. He is the one who brings sustenance to our souls and to our hearts and to our minds. He is the oil in the jar and the flour. He is the one that we give our lives to. So we ought to be rich toward Him. And you guys do that really well. God wants you to prosper. He does want you to have enough to bless others. But you gotta know that money is not gonna bring you inner peace. Money is not gonna be the fresh bread that you're looking for. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. If you want freedom from anxiety, freedom from worry, if you wanna earn your confidence back, you gotta listen to the words that Jesus are trying to teach us and to guide us with. And rely on that. And every single day, whether you have enough or whether you don't, you say, God, give us today our daily bread. Give us fresh bread for our souls. If you do that, if you rely on God, you will not only have a life that you will not gonna want to run away from, but you will have fresh bread for your souls daily. A bread that will sustain your soul, sustain your heart, so that you can be strong and able to win every battle, to conquer every enemy, and to live the life of victory that God has promised to you. You will get to your promised land. You will see rain on your land again. So let's be rich toward God and bless Him this morning. Do you receive it? Amen.